All right, on the line right now, his podcasts are so great, Al.
Yes.
I want him to announce where you can hear John Stallman.
All right.
This guy is the most versatile guy in American media. He covers both the Phillies and the Eagles, and we are honored to have him on our show. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
John, I need to hear some good podcasts. You got any suggestions?
Well, I happen to have two I could tell you about.
All right, what are these two here?
I do a Phillies podcast called Hittin' Season, part of the Good Fight podcast feed network. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Hittin' Season.
Hittin' Season. And BGN Radio, part of the Bleeding Green Nation podcast family. So.
Oh, always good stuff there. I love it. I'll tell you, John, let's just start with what happened to the Phillies last night. There's a lot of people you could blame for that. Who should we blame?
David Robertson.
I forgot about him. I forgot he was on the team, John.
I know, that's the thing. I mean, I'm frustrated that Craig Kimbrell is still out in the world and not a part of this bullpen right now. But I think, you know, the reason I think Matt Klentak on your poll is fourth in the running here as far as who's to blame for last night is because they did go out and get David Robertson this offseason with the expectation, not necessarily, I think, that he would be the quote-unquote closer, but that he would get most of the ninth inning opportunities. And with him being hurt, now they've had to try and figure it out on the fly. And I think Hector Neris has been the guy Gabe has gone to the majority of the time in save situations. So I don't know if he would call Neris the closer, but I think most of the time it has been Neris. It's just they had half a bullpen unavailable last night. And, you know, to me, that's not great bullpen management in the days leading up to last night by Gabe Kapler. I know he said that he wants to go for the win each and every night, and you know I want that too. And it's very possible that if Kapler had done something differently over the last three or four nights, maybe they lose one of those games against the Rockies as a result. Maybe they don't win the game on Monday night. But it was really frustrating to not have your four best relief pitchers available last night.
Well, the thing we're wrestling the most with is Pat Neshek. Because he was up Monday night. They didn't put him in the game. They managed to win that one in extra innings, John. And then apparently him getting up, not getting in the game, just getting up in the bullpen, made him ineligible last night. And we don't know if he's making the rules or the team's making the rules. Give me a read on what's going on with Neshek.
It's frustrating. And listening to his explanation was like word soup. You know, it was even more. I still don't know exactly what went down the other night because I think it was a tactical error to let Sir Anthony Dominguez even start a second inning. They should have had somebody else ready to go for the start of that inning. But once that inning got going, it sounded as though Neshek didn't have enough time to get warm. I mean, you can't bring a reliever in after he's thrown two warm-up pitches, but we are entering an era of baseball now where managers look at the amount of energy that's exerted in getting up and throwing a bullpen and getting ready to come in a game almost like it's an actual appearance. And, you know, I guess I always thought that if you were up multiple times in a game, then you wouldn't be available the next day. But if you've just warmed up once, I don't understand how that makes you unavailable for the next day. It doesn't make any sense to me. Now Pat Neshek has a Tommy John surgery in his history. He is, I think, very worried and very cautious about another injury to himself. But man, it does seem for a guy who did not actually get in the game last night to be on Monday night to not be available last night sucks.
I just want you to understand that as you're talking there, John, I'm looking at a man's man, Hollis Thomas.
Yes,
Hollis is shaking his head, going, "You mean you can't warm up and then pitch the next night, Hollis? That's really wussy behavior, isn't it?"
Yeah, because the intensity of being in the game and warming up is different.
Yeah. Like
you're not throwing hard. The fact that that you're not available means that you're not really a part of our team. I can't see you being a part of my team.
It's unbelievable. All right, anyway, let me get to Kimbrell, because you have made an appeal today, right, John, via Twitter for Craig Kimbrell immediately, not waiting until June when you would lose a draft pick. Is that correct?
Yeah, because if you wait until June 1st, that's what every team's waiting for. And so you're going to have more teams trying to get Kimbrell at that point. Now, so if you go after Craig Kimbrell now and you sacrifice the draft pick, and more important than the draft pick is the slot money, the money that you get for that third pick that you can allocate to other picks in different rounds, if you sacrifice that now, it's possible you limit the number of other teams who might be also willing to make that sacrifice. And so maybe you have an exclusive negotiating opportunity with Kimbrel if you say, okay, let's do this now. The only flaw to my logic, and it didn't occur to me until afterwards, is Kimbrel might want to wait until June 1st now so that more teams are involved and that maybe he can score a bigger contract. But if I'm Matt Klentak, I'm on the phone today trying to see if maybe I can get this done now, and I eat the draft pick and the slot money.
John Stallness dazzling in Phillies talk. Let's move him to the Eagles.
Okay.
We had Carson Wentz on less than an hour ago, John. He sounds great, and he sounds more committed than ever. And one of the tactics he's going to use to stay healthy is an emphasis on nutrition and on sleep. Will that help to keep him healthy?
Well, it can't hurt, but I don't know that nutrition and sleep is going to help getting a helmet in your knee and, you know, tearing an ACL or you know, getting a shoulder pad in your back and, you know, fracturing your back. I mean, I think that's all great. You know, I think it's great that he was practicing without the knee brace. I think it would be great if he's playing this year where he doesn't feel encumbered by an injury of some kind, but yeah, and it's certainly good. You know, you're going to be healthier and you're going to be at your best if you're eating well and you're sleeping right and all that. I think that's all great. There's nothing negative about that at all. It's just when you've got NFL defensive linemen coming at you and you're facing, you know, an all-out blitz and you're getting crunched, you know, getting a good night's sleep, I'm not sure how much that's going to help you to stay healthy.
Now I want to argue his side of this. All right, John, here's the thing. Because he even took a little shot at Tom Brady yesterday. Because Brady wrote a book on nutrition. And Brady, part of his strategy has been nutrition and sleep. Here's the thing. How does a 42-year-old guy go season after season without getting these serious injuries and a 24, 5, and 6-year-old kid can't stay on field? Explain that to me.
Well, it's very clear Tom Brady has made a pact with the devil.
That's what it is. He got Giselle that way, too. I guarantee you, John. Seriously, I mean, John, it doesn't seem fair. You're more brittle when you're in your 40s than your 20s. How does this guy keep getting hurt?
And I will argue, you'll find nobody higher on Carson Wentz than me. I think he's going to have an MVP season this year. I do think he's going to stay healthy for most of the season. I don't think he's brittle. I know he's been injured a lot. I just think he's had some bad luck. We still don't know exactly how the back injury happened last year. And that's the thing that bothers me is we don't know when the injury happened. Really. We don't know what the circumstances were. They've been very, very cagey about the whole thing. And so, you know, not knowing the circumstances under which that one happened is, you know, to me, I don't get it. And so, you know, I would love to know exactly how that went down. And then I would have a better idea of, you know, what we're talking about here. But I don't think Wentz is brittle. I don't necessarily. He could go the rest of his career without suffering a major injury. We just going forward, there's no way to know.
All right, John, one last thing. You spent some of the Phillies money this morning. Let me see if I can get you to spend a little bit of the Eagles money.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins is sitting out there. He is the leader of the team in my eyes. He saved last season. When the whole secondary went down, he stayed healthy. He would like a redo of the contract. Are you giving Malcolm more money?
Yeah, I think at this point you're pot committed. I mean, I don't love the idea of restructuring a contract for a 31-year-old guy, but I think he's so important back there, both in the locker room and, you know, handling a secondary that I think is deep but doesn't have a superstar back there. And so he really is – he might be the most valuable person on that defense. I mean, Fletcher Cox is a monster, and his production on the inside of the D-line is incredible, and Brandon Graham, we know what he can do, but I don't know if there's anybody more important to the defense than Malcolm Jenkins, and so yeah, I probably, you have the cap space to do it. I know they're talking about contract extensions with Wentz, but I would give Malcolm what he wants, probably.
Last thing, Stallness, this is going to be a tough one for you.
All right.
You got the two podcasts. You are as versatile as it comes. He's got the two sports mastered.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like better, baseball or football?
I'm a baseball guy, Ange. Yep.
Wow, he went right to the answer.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Phillies were my first love as a kid, and I, you know, the Eagles came pretty quickly after that, but I've always been a baseball. I love baseball in that you can have a night like last night where it was such a frustrating loss,
yep,
and they're right back at it tonight. You know, they can wash it right out of their mouths. And as fans, we could have a walk-off. You know, we could have a late-inning win like we had on Monday night. That's the beauty of baseball. You get to forget about a really negative game in a day.
Well, you're awesome in both sports. Go to Bleeding Green Nation to hear his podcast or Hit and Seize it, John Stallness. John, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
You got it. Thanks, guys.